Okay, here we are. It's Wednesday already, and you watch. The rest of the week's going to go real fast. Erica, are you there?
I am here, Jeff. Good evening.
Okay, good evening to you. We are back again. We're going to roll this to three times a week now because of the gravity of the situation and the number of people who are dying. The official VAERS number is 300 and what did they say? 388,000 Americans now dead. But you remember that VAERS says that they only receive 1% approximately of the reports. So multiply 388,000 by 100 and you get 38 million. And I don't think
I thought
that
the number was, that 300,000 number, I thought was maybe the injured. I think the actual dead was 18,000.
Somebody had a bad headline then. That's what it said. It seemed too high to me. But we'll look it up here at some point.
But bear in mind, whatever the number is, it's 1% of what's actually out there.
Multiply it by 99.
Right.
Yeah. No, I did read that. Now, where is it? Here it is. Latest. VAERS estimate. 388,000 Americans killed by the COVID vaccines. That's the headline.
Okay.
So
that conflicts with something else I read, but that's, you know, something like 11 different reporting agencies right now.
Yeah.
So I suppose it depends on which one they want to draw from.
Sure. Take your pick. 38,000, 38 million, 388. Steve Kirsch wrote this one.
Okay. Yeah, he's keeping tabs on the numbers.
Latest VAERS estimate, 388,000 Americans killed by COVID vaccines. An independent derivation of the VAERS URF using the CMS death data leads to a URF of 44.64, which then leads to a 388,000 excess death estimate. Steve Kirsch. Kirsch is pretty well on this, and he writes, my estimate of the VAERS underreporting factor, URF, they got letters for everything now, at 41 was based on anaphylaxis rates reported in the Blumenthal paper published in JAMA. I have argued that the anaphylaxis rate is an appropriate number to use to underestimate deaths because I believe the deaths would be less reported than anaphylaxis to VAERS for two reasons, and he goes on from there. Anyway, it's a Steve Kirsch story with that exact amount in the headline. So 388,000, multiply it by 99 and have fun. Point is, it's a hell of a lot more than the government, what government, than they will ever tell us. It's not going to happen. I'm still guessing 2 to 3 million. Maybe I'm off by a factor of 20. I don't know. We'll never know. Because now they're not having to use COVID as the cause of death for these people. They're just dying of cancers and diabetes and major organ failures. And they never mentioned microclots or major clots. They don't do that. They just, it's not something that we see often reported at all. So there you go. It was Kirsch. You have a fairly reasonable appreciation of Kirsch, don't you?
He seems to be quite the warrior, and he's very factual in his statements.
Yeah.
He first came on the scene. Well, I first saw him on that Dark Horse podcast with Brent Weinstein and Malone several months back. So, but he's really, I think he's deeply disturbed, or appears to be deeply disturbed about what he sees and what's going on and putting a stop to it.
Well, like we are, and like, I can't say everyone, because a lot of everyone is working for the other side. Whether they admit it or not, that'll never be a factor. They are deep state mechanisms of disinformation, misinformation, and mass social engineering. That's what they do. Now, let me do this here. I've got to do one other thing here. One, two, three. The CDC is, and if you've heard stories lately of new cases of COVID confirmed. Somebody goes to the hospital and they're sick. They've got the flu. No, they'll come back with COVID. How do they do it? PCR. Well, the CDC is formally and finally, after 2 years, withdrawing support for all PCR tests when it comes to trying to come up with a diagnosis of SARS-CoV-2. And that's happening at the end of the month. The Centers for Disease Control and the Prevention of will no longer recognize PCR tests as valid methods of diagnosing COVID-19 by the end of the year. When should they have done this?
At the beginning.
God, and here we are. And now, what are they going to replace it with? An oral antigen test, which at least one very competent physician has told me he won't use because it doesn't work. So the bottom line is here. Bottom line here is they got no test. They never have had a test. That's how they got away with last year hiding 50 million cases of influenza. They relabeled it. So, PCR positive COVID, antigen positive COVID. Hell, I think they didn't even test a lot of people. They just said, well, you've got the symptoms, so you've got COVID. It's a game. That's how they did it last year. 50 million cases of flu were running around. Let's take it in half. 25 million were running around. I don't care. It's all lies. That's the point. Lies, lies, and more lies. So they're dropping the PCR at the end of the month. The antigen test is not a viable replacement. They got no test. Fair enough?
Yeah. I mean, this testing, it's subject to interpretation. I mean, who's minding the store? Who's manufacturing the tests? Who's administering the tests? Who is analyzing the tests?
I don't think there's
any standard. It's anything goes.
Anything and everything goes.
To show whatever it is they want to show.
Always has been, always will be. Don't forget, though, that they have reconfigured the PCR test, so now they can use it to test for smallpox.
And Marburg.
Or was it Marburg? It was at least Marburg, and I did see somewhere that they were going to use it to test for smallpox. So another fake is on the way, okay? They're just lying to us all the time, nonstop. Yeah. Now, here's the story of the day. I get calls from some extraordinarily brave physicians and nice people. So does Erica. Doctor calls today, and he works in an urgent care, and he works in senior care facilities. I think he's got six or seven that are under his wing. He said, you're not going to believe this. In the last 90 minutes, we've had over 20 cases of people coming in here with COVID. And I respectfully said, but doctor, what did you test them with? One of those 2-foot-long sticks you stick through their brain and out the backside of their skull? What did you test them with? He said, well, the antigen test. But that's not a good test. All right, here's the point. 20 people presented at the urgent care with high fevers, blood pressure, sinus issues, body pain all over, gastrointestinal problems. And the biggest complaint of all was they could barely walk. They had no energy. They were beyond fatigued. He said every one of them had the same basic profile. And I said, what are you going to do? And he says, I don't know. They don't know. Because they don't know. He said, we don't know if this is a virus or a bacteria or both. And I said, I'll bet both. So maybe, you know, maybe they'll respond to antibiotics. That's something to think about. I'm not a doctor. But he agreed. He's a wonderful physician. And so he said all the hospitals, and this is in the major Kansas City area. I'm going to leave it at that. They're all full. The average wait to get into the ER is 4 to 5 hours. And if you get into the ER and they bring back a PCR test, which they can, and say, you've got COVID, and there's a bed in there, they're going to put you in the bed. And then you better be prepared to fight for your life, because they will put you on an IV and they will bring in remdesivir and you're toast. Now, I talked to someone else today who told me the story of a very good friend of hers. Or was it yesterday? Yesterday. And this guy was sick. He went to the ER. They admitted him in the hospital and said, yep, you've got COVID. They said, we're going to put you in a room. And he said, wait a minute. I don't want any remdesivir. Do you understand me? And the female Indian doctor said, well, no, that's the drug of choice. That's the approved drug. Well, you're going to get remdesivir. He said, no, no, don't you even think about trying it. And she kind of went, and walked away. He's in his bed. They put the IV bag up. About 5-10 minutes later, a male nurse comes in with another item, a packet, that he was getting ready to attach to the IV drip. The guy said, what is that? This is a true story. He said, well, it's the remdesivir the doctor ordered for you. You have to have it. And he said, he yelled at him. He said, get the hell out of this room. I'm going home tomorrow. You're not putting that stuff in me under any circumstances. Do you understand? And so he got out. He left today. So they're doing this. They're using remdesivir to break down people's kidney function, fill their lungs with fluids, put them on a vent, and then take them to the morgue. That's how they do it. That's why Sherry Tenpenny calls these hospitals now death factories. They know that remdesivir is fatal. And I say most everyone who is still working in the professional health care that is an American citizen is an accessory to murder. Because they know what they're doing. Don't kid yourself. They know exactly what they're doing. And if you don't have the strength to advocate for yourself, and you end up in the hospital with allegedly having been infected with COVID, you better have somebody advocate for you who's ready to go to war, or they will give you remdesivir. They don't care.
Yeah, that's I've heard the same stories. It's a script. It's an absolute script.
It's a big money maker.
They're all following it.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. $8,000 per day for 2 IV drips with remdesivir. Do the math. $13,000 for 1 diagnosis of COVID. $33,000 more if you put somebody on a vent. And that doesn't count the daily room charge, the daily nursing costs, the blood panels, the other work that they do in these cases. It is outrageous. Erica, this is going to knock your socks off if you're wearing any socks. The actual amount of money the U.S. government is paying to hospitals and medical institutions out of Medicaid and Medicare every year, and I got these stats today, is $13 trillion.
It's a lot of dough.
Do you all understand? COVID is big business. No one's getting COVID infections anymore, by the way, if they ever really did get many. Their immune systems are being destroyed by the bioweapon, so they're getting sick with all kinds of things, as we heard Dr. Russell Blaylock. And go back and listen to those programs, please. They're very important. You'll find them up on the homepage. They're just nailing people, and they're making a fortune. That's what this is all about. And then the bigger agenda, of course, is mass death. So that's just a little quick look at it all. Okay, your turn.
I don't know if you saw this new study that came out. It's called the Metagenomic Evidence for the Coexistence of SARS and H1N1 in Patients from 2007 to 2012 Flu Seasons in France.
No.
Have you seen it? Well, this is a study out of China. It looks like it's about to be in general publication. It's in a journal called Biosafety and Health. And basically what they found is that as far back as 2007, when they began analyzing these samples of data from, I guess it was about 100 patients that were infected with influenza A, H1N1, also were co-infected with the original SARS-CoV.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
So it seems as though ever since we've had these coronaviruses, weaponized bat coronaviruses that conveniently infect people,
those
that
wet
they have
market
been a part
wonders.
Of the...
Yes.
Well, they've been a part of the clinical picture as far back as 2007 in France. So when somebody's infected with H1N1, there was, I think it was 22, so about 20% of the patients that had influenza A, H1N1, were also co-infected with SARS-CoV-1.
Wow.
So, I mean, this has been going on since 2007. Now, suddenly, they're acting as if SARS-CoV-2 is so problematic, we're going to have to shut down the entire world, globe, and have a vaccine so we can return to normal. The fraud is endless.
Well, go on the right side in our special section with all of the stories and look for the one that says, Jeff and Erica, Nurse Anne returns for another shocking look inside a major U.S. hospital, or the first one, Nurse Anne. You'll find it there. She verifies everything we've been saying from the inside out. Jeff and Erica with special guest Anne, a career professional nurse, explaining the severe vax injuries suddenly appearing in hospitals in the past 6 weeks. That's very important. She will be with us again a week from this Friday. She's working right now 10, 12 hours a day. I forget what, but she just started her shift. So she'll be with us a week from Friday to give us a new update on what's going on inside her particular death factory. So, and again, I want to repeat, and forgive the repetition, but do look at your local obituaries if you don't doubt that people are dying all over the place. They are. It's just not being reported. They're hiding it. Now, you've been doing, you've scanned that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. And it's the number... percentage of younger people that are dying either suddenly or unexpectedly is, I'd say it's about a third of all of the obituaries that are being publicized right now.
That high? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, going back to that 388,000 dead, I don't know, but it came from a good source. It may have been a miswritten headline. It's easy to strike a key twice. So, but in any case, whether it's 38,000 or hold on. Get my handy calculator. Let's see what we got here. 38,000 times, just round it off, 100. Damn it. I messed up. 100 equals, 3,800,000. So I suggest it's probably 38 that they're saying, not 388, because 308 million dead would be in the ballpark of what I've been yammering about for the last month, that we've got 2.5 to 3 million dead. So just take the VAERS figures and multiply by 99, and you're going to get well over 3 million dead, murdered Americans. All right, they didn't die accidentally. This is all intentional. All intentional. And the big death wave is just beginning to gather momentum now. And as I mentioned, and Erica concurs, the obituaries will underscore it. The people are dying all over the place.
I'm seeing a lot more paramedic ambulance activity as well. It's unmistakable. It's
buzzing by your house?
Just, yeah, whenever I'm out doing errands or whatever, driving, and it's, a given that at some point during that foray, I will have to pull over and allow an ambulance to go by.
Wow. Wow. Clot City.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I do, you know, there is a hospital close by, so.
Well, always live near a hospital, you know. You never know when you might need it. Because you could go now, though, I'll tell you, I don't know how anyone can walk into an emergency room knowing what you good people know without being really concerned that you're going to come into contact with someone who is in there because they have been vaxxed with this bioweapon and their immune system has crashed and they're throwing off spike proteins left and right at the least. And they're probably got something that is highly contagious because they have no immune system. So the ER room is probably the last place you'd want to be. You know? Go in there and register, and then go back and sit in your car. What? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and some of these, the stories I've heard, they are a real horror show, just a circus.
I just don't. It's very difficult to deal with this subject matter for you out there and us over here. It's quite real. They are not going to slow down their plans of global genocide. And we've talked about transmission and shedding, and we will talk more about that because it is very important to understand that. And I tried to illustrate that a moment ago by describing the average ER. You've got people in there with destroyed immune systems who are carrying God knows what, such as the new leukemia, which kills you in 2 weeks dead. Just as one example, Dr. Blaylock said dozens of diseases, many of which don't even have names. You want to be around that? You want to be around spike proteins or possibly the mRNA itself that could be being shed? I don't think you do. So, you know, if you're sick, get online. Do as much research as you can about what your symptoms are, and you might find out a way to do things at home that will preclude you from having to be exposed to these things in a hospital. Am I being too coarse?
No, I think that's the prudent thing to do. I mean, there are organizations out there, America's Frontline Doctors, COVID Critical Care. I mean, if you call them, they have doctors, physicians that can talk to you and counsel you what you should do. These hospitals are not good places right now.
No, and the sad thing about America's Frontline Doctors is we have had reports of them, some of them, saying, just go get the shot. You remember that?
I do, yes. I don't know what's up with that.
I don't either.
If they didn't... didn't mind the handbook or what, but they're just overwhelmed. I don't know.
No, it's crazy. It's just, you don't do that. And then the other one, and we've got to get Ann Blake Tracy on here at some point. There are doctors, and I think you may remember a name. I don't. It's on the tip of my tongue. But there are a number of doctors now who are recommending you go on antidepressants if you've been vaxxed and you're worried about it. Who was that doctor? Do you remember? There was a named doctor that, or an organization.
Yeah, well, it was either, I think it was Pierre Corey or Paul Merrick.
Which correct,
is, that's the,
Corey.
Yeah, okay.
You got it.
Well, apparently they did do some fairly short-term study that showed that it reduced the inflammation associated with the neurological symptoms in people with COVID. I hadn't heard that they were doing it also for the vaxxed.
Yeah, well, the problem is after you've been on SSRIs for a while, you might wake up one morning and kill your grandparents and your great-grandparents and not remember a thing. That's what SSRIs can do to the human mind. The suicide ideation rate quadruples or something when you go on SSRIs. Ann called me some weeks ago and said, I can't believe this. They're actually suggesting to people to go ask their doctor for a prescription for antidepressants. Okay, crazy stuff. All right, anything you want to add here? Then we're going to play a little tiny piece of video, the new one from Dr. Vernon Coleman.
No, let's listen to Vernon Coleman.
All right, we won't listen to the whole thing, but this is the doctor who describes himself as the old man in the chair. He's a UK physician, and the first 4 minutes are pretty good of this, so let's take a listen.
It's the 11th of December, 2021, or thereabouts. We all know that the short-term risks for those accepting the COVID-19 jabs are horrific, worse than the risks associated with any traditional vaccine or drug that ever has been ever made. And there have been some horror stories in the past associated with pharmaceutical products. Drug companies are the most ruthless of all corporate entities. They make arms companies look positively benevolent. And as I've pointed out before, they make those involved in the illegal drug trade look comparatively decent. It was known in late 2020, a year ago, that the COVID-19 jabs would cause heart trouble, strokes, neurological problems, myocarditis, and pericarditis. I know this because I made several videos last year, 2020, in which I explained that all these things would happen and that the adverse events would not be rare or even uncommon. If you're interested, take a look at my video called COVID-19 Vaccine, Possible Vaccine Side Effects, or Vital Information About the COVID-19 Vaccine. Both videos were recorded and published in December 2020, and they're still there. If they'd been on YouTube, they'd have been removed, of course. I've written umpteen thousand words about the short-term problems with these jabs. But I've also been investigating the medium and long-term dangers, and what I've found is truly terrifying. This really is a cull. Most of the vaxxed will, I fear, be lucky to last 5 years. And all that for a jab that doesn't do what most people think it does. To be honest, anyone who still accepts one of these jabs should be considered suicidal or certified insane. Life expectation is going to fall dramatically, and not just because of the quality of health care that's deteriorating daily. I honestly find it difficult to believe that there are people around who are so brainwashed and so terrified by the lies they've heard that they'll accept as many jabs as they're offered. If you doubt my credentials, by the way, take a look at...
Oh, by the way, Lord Fauci today said that you will be having to have at minimum a booster every year. It's going to deteriorate from that. It'll come down to every 6 months. It's a second story, third story in headlines. Lord Fauci, that was what I call it, orders all Americans to comply with yearly boosters, which will no doubt soon become monthly spike protein injections. The genocide of the global elite will not be stopped. Now, go back to Dr. Coleman.
My predictions and warnings on vernoncoleman.com. And if you doubt that, just read your way through my 20 million words of published books and old columns. The politicians, the government scientists, and the journalists claim that there are no medium or long-term dangers associated with the experimental jabs. But they say that because they seem to know nothing about traditional vaccines, which can and do cause medium and long-term problems. And of course, they know nothing about the experimental COVID jabs in the future because no one on earth can say with certainty what's going to happen in 1, 5, or 10 years' time. I have, however, made a determined clinical attempt to analyse what I think will happen, and this is what I've come up with. First, of course, there are the heart problems. It seems that the damage to the heart that is responsible for so many fit sportsmen dropping dead or collapsing is likely to affect far more people than we know about.
Three more athletes today down on the field or had to stop playing, careers finished, heart severe heart pain, all vaxxed. So it's just annihilating European soccer players. I'm surprised more Americans haven't gone down, football players and such.
Mm-hmm. This can hardly remove hearts from living patients to see how many are suffering serious early-stage heart trouble. And it's early days as far as the myocarditis and pericarditis and other problems are concerned. This problem is now a permanent part of life for many, and it was all predicted with great precision. Again, just look back at the videos I've made during the last 2 years. Everything was predicted. The videos are all on brand YouTube. I warned that far, far more will die of the jabs than died or will die of the rebranded flu.
The rebranded flu. Hold on to that thought.
It seems, of course, that the heart problems are made worse by heavy exercise. There will, I fear, be sudden deaths amongst those labouring, digging snow or doing heavy gardening. Deaths among the elderly will be dismissed as a result of ordinary ageing. Incidentally, have you noticed that recently the official line is that people who go to the gym are more likely to have strokes or heart attacks? As if simply going to the gym was the problem. No mention of the jab as the cause. They're trying to normalize strokes and heart attacks to cover up the jab problems.
Okay, we're going to stop there. Flu. Tell us your thoughts about flu. Let me just do this real quick. 2 years ago, we had over 50 million cases of influenza A and B in the U.S. Last year, we had 2,300. Where did they go? They were simply relabeled COVID. It's the flu. Now we've got something else going around. I described earlier from a doctor who called me this morning, and these are very brave people. And it could be a flu, a new version of flu. What better way to come up with a deadlier flu variant than to see someone who has been vaxxed with the bioweapon become infected with influenza? Tell us why.
I think there's a good possibility that could be happening, because these flu viruses, influenza, they go through what's known as reassortment, genetic reassortment, and they can do that because their genome is segmented, unlike most others that are all intact. The flu viruses have their genome is broken up into separate parts that can recombine with those from other flu viruses that come out of pigs or birds or people, and that's why every year you get a kind of a different type of flu that circulates because of this reassortment, genetic reassortment.
Right.
So now you've got people walking around that have been inoculated or vaxxed with this bioweapon that, if it was the Moderna or the Pfizer, they have a segment in there already for a fusion protein that could be acquired by a flu virus. I don't know. The probability of that happening seems quite high to me, particularly in people that are immune suppressed. They can't contain infections. These things begin to replicate, and they're RNA viruses, so they make mistakes and they create mutants, variants, and I think that may be what we're seeing, some sort of chimeric flu that's endowed with the attributes of a coronavirus.
All the tools are there for that to happen. But something is racing around the country now, and it is not COVID. So don't buy into it. If you get sick and you really have trouble, should I tell them about the four cases of people who got this briefly?
Sure.
All right, four people that I personally know. Three of whom have been on this program as regular guests became sick with whatever is going around now, and it's moving quickly. It's highly contagious, and it makes people very sick. Four people that I ran into contacted me, or I emailed and said, oh, I'm too sick. What's the matter? Four people, one of whom, and I don't know about the rest, had a positive diagnosis of double pneumonia. bacterial pneumonia in the lung. Pain, weakness. She told me today she couldn't even get out of bed. She was so weak. And fortunately, I was able to help them with a product that is available on this program. This is not a sneaky commercial pitch. It's just a fact. And I don't want to mention the product tonight. I'll come in maybe Friday night. I will. I've got some things I got to get done. But this particular product turned these people around after every antibiotic they had been given or every other medication, we'll call it, failed to work. And this product, in all four cases, turned them around in 24 to 36 hours. They were 50% better. They were up. They were walking. They were talking. They sounded fine on the phone, reasonably well compared to what they were. One of them wrote me in and said, I want to thank you for saving my life. That's what we have here. Now, it's been a product for a long time, and I just don't want to mention it right now, and I have reasons. But we'll revisit this Friday. So that's a fact. Whatever's running around the country, and Erica knows this as well as anybody, may well be a new release of something. If it's not a chimeric flu, it may be something new that has been dumped off in the populace.
Well, let's not forget, they're pushing the flu vax now. We don't know what's in that. And every time they release a new batch of these COVID injections, we have no idea what's in that.
There's no oversight. There's no regulation. They're changing, we believe, the bioweapon to suit their own fancy, which is what Erica is saying. We have no idea what they're giving as injections. And Americans are still lining up to take the damn shots. They're not even finished with their first two that were supposed to make them permanently safe. They're taking these boosters. Some people have had four shots already. And now every year they're going to have them. And you wonder about genocide? It's right in your face. It's in all of our faces. This is the agenda. Now,
yeah, it's happening.
All right, I want to go back. Several weeks ago, we played a clip from an interview by Dr. Robert Malone, who was done in Hawaii. And in that clip, he said, I'm paraphrasing now, we need to get as much vaccine as possible, as quickly as possible, into adults and seniors. He didn't like that. They didn't like that. And we got feedback from a third party. Now, Robert Malone has put out a 4-minute piece on a warning to parents about getting your child injected with the bioweapon. He's saying, don't do it. Now, in this 4-minute video, which I personally feel as a longtime media professional, is being done to try to rehabilitate and correct him stubbing his toe by making that statement, which I was fortunate enough to get hold of and we played. I just like people to be held accountable for what they do and what they say. I'm old-fashioned. Well, he did put out this video about children. He didn't mention adults. He didn't mention seniors. He talked about children. And it's good. And I want to give him credit for that, because I think credit is always warranted where it's due. And this is a good video. So here it is. But he doesn't talk about getting as much vaccine as quickly as possible into our adults and our seniors, which was the statement I played on this program. Take a listen.
I'm a physician and a scientist. But more importantly, I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parents' cells. This gene forces your child...
He didn't say parents. He said parent cells. Okay? I just want to make sure you didn't think he was talking about the parents.
...body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause...
Let me back that up, just to be fair. Hold on, I want you to hear this.
...is that a viral gene will be injected into your parents' cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause...
Or a genetically ruined immune system. Yes, Erica?
I would agree.
...productive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risks from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Okay, well done, Dr. Malone. I wish he had included adults. I wish he had included seniors, but at least he covered the kids. Whereas just a few weeks ago, he said we must get as much vaccine as possible, as quickly, into our adults and seniors. So you have two sides of a coin here. And I did want to give him credit. Eric and I always do that where credit is due. And this statement was extremely worthy and extremely important.
I agree. He said it very, very well, very convincingly. But, you know, looking at his track record, you know, having observed other things he said, it's
right.
Contradictory to other utterances he's made. And you know, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, they're mixed messages. And it reminds me of... Well, someone else who's renowned for that now.
Okay. Yes.
So I don't know. Is he being groomed for the same?
I don't know. All I know is that those words were very valuable and hopefully encouraging to you parents out there who may be facing a mandate to have your children vaccinated or they won't be able to be allowed to go back to school. To hell with the schools. Pull your kids out of the schools.
Yeah.
You don't want to be involved with any government school that would force something like this on a child. So I will give Dr. Malone credit for that. I have great issues with some of the other things he has said. But whatever the reason, was it to rehab his image? Because he took a lot of crap from what we did on this program in exposing that quote that was made in a TV interview with a television newsman. So, okay. All right, so you take the good with the bad, and you move forward. And that's what we're doing. But I know both of us here will always do that and present, whenever it is warranted, we will present both sides of an issue, especially when it comes to something like that.
Yeah, I hope parents are paying attention.
When he said you may have to live with for the rest of your life, he was talking about your child, your most precious thing, being damaged and injured, never to get over it, and to live maybe half as long, maybe to live only 4 or 5 more years. There's no reason to vaccinate a child. There's no reason for a pregnant mother, for God's sakes, to take this shot. What? Again, Erica is all over this. There is a big group of 75,000, if I remember right, approximately, pregnant nursing mothers who are raving about the shots and how their babies are wonderful and all that. There's no mention of all the stillbirths. You carry a baby for 9 months and it's born dead. There's no mention of that. And it's going on all over the place.
Yeah, I guess the rate of stillbirths now is just through the roof. And what they're telling, the official narrative is that, well, it's COVID.
Oh,
they're actually
geez.
Blaming it on COVID.
Yeah.
It's funny, we never had that rate of stillbirths during the pandemic, did we? No.
Hell no.
No, we didn't.
No. Okay, to recap, there's something apparently new out there now. We don't know what it is. It may be a mutated flu, a chimeric flu. It may be an entirely new organism. I don't know what it is. It does seem to respond to antibiotics, the right antibiotic. All right, I don't want to open the floodgates for orders here, so give me till Friday to get this, and I'll present it to you on Friday. Go ahead, Erica.
I would also say that whatever this is right now that's making people sick, in some cases, maybe all of them, I don't know, but I am hearing that people are having clotting issues along with these other symptoms. So that's something to pay attention to if you think you're getting sick.
Yeah. And that is suggestive of a chimeric flu virus.
Could be.
Suggestive. Okay. All right. Anything you want to add? We're going to wrap it up here. Another very important hour's worth of information.
No, I think that covers it for
okay.
now.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff.
Thanks.
Good evening.
Okay. All right. Thanks to all of you for being there. Please share these videos. They're actually in a video format, but they're audio. But share the information. Remember, when someone is listening, they're really using their mind. If they're staring at a moving picture, they're reacting. There's a difference. That's why I don't do video. I want people to listen. So on behalf of Erica, thank you all for being here. And we will be back Friday night, the two of us. And we'll be back tomorrow night with the program, as usual. And Todd, get well. Thanks so much for making the program possible. Good night, everyone. Talk soon.